You guys got your Bible? Let's go to Exodus chapter 14. We were there just a few months ago. We're going to revisit it. And then we won't really read much from there, but I want you to also go to Numbers chapter 13. I just want you to have that available for yourself. Exodus 14 and Numbers 13. Today is Vision Sunday. I do recognize that our congregation, I'm just stating the obvious. We're probably down legitimately about 100 people overall from last week just due to sickness and storms. But hopefully, if you're not here in person, hopefully you're watching online today. Can we give a shout out to those who are joining us online today? If you're watching online, whether, you know, watching right now or maybe even after the fact, whether it be on YouTube or Facebook, leave us a comment, give us a shout out, let us know that you're there with us. We love you. We appreciate you. If you're homesick, we're praying that God brings healing to your body. And we're so thankful that you chose to not share the germs with us today. Can I get an amen from the healthy people at Lifehouse that don't want the stomach bug? Yeah, I really don't care about the other stuff, but the stomach bug, I can go back where it came from. You know where it came from. Last October, it was actually October 15th, Chad Moran, are you in the house? Chad Moran confirmed that we had major structural damage in our other building right over here. And if you're relatively new to Lifehouse, maybe this is the only building you know that we, and I don't want to like call people out, but I'm going to. If this is the only Lifehouse that you know meeting in our gymnasium, but now our church building, if this is the only Lifehouse that you know, would you just lift your hand in the air so we can look at you? Yeah, hey, that's awesome. Praise God. Yeah, yeah. For the rest of you, you know that we used to meet in that building over there, the one that is standing there awkwardly, kind of falling in the middle. In October, we discovered we had major structural damage. And then in October 20th, we had our first service in this room right here. And man, it was a fun day. It was crazy. Right? In literally, basically 24 hours, we, with a team of people, so many of you showed up looking around this room. I see your faces, and I remember with just a thankful heart the sweat that you poured into getting all of the stuff from there to here. And it was amazing to watch and to be a part of that. So thankful for God's blessings over that entire transition. Aren't you thankful that God is faithful? Yeah. And so today, this is Vision Sunday. In case you're not aware, today's Vision Sunday. My goal today is to lay out a framework. Don't stop playing. I ain't done yet. There we go. There you go. That was a long pause. Scared me for a second. I need you, man. You're my security blanket right now. Thank you. Thank you very much. Yeah, Carlos, thank you. My goal today is to present to you what I hope to be a picture for the rest of this year and possibly for the next 3 to 5 years. That will actually, and I know you're going to, some of you may think I'm crazy, but here's the thing. I don't believe that God wants to bless Lifehouse just for 3 to 5 years or do things at Lifehouse for 3 to 5 years. I'm believing that when we're not even on this earth anymore, that in 50 years, that the sweat that is poured, the seeds that are sown, the effort that is given, the faith that is expended, that in 50 years, there will still be kingdom difference being made because of what is accomplished this year and the next few years. And that was not, I'm going to be real with you, that was a pitiful amen compared to what I just said. I turn 40 next month. I don't know if I got 50 more years in me. Maybe. I don't know. I won't be sane enough to know that anything's happening, right? Right? Unless I'm like Bill. Bill's the Energizer Bunny back there. He's still going strong, man. And so I want to recap the message that I shared on October 20th when we met together that day. The name of that message was, "What do you do when shift happens?" First thing you do is you enunciate very, very well. What do you do when shift happens? How many of you were here for that message? All right, well, get ready. Go back to your notes to October 20th because you're going to hear it again today. You ready? I'm going to move fast through it, though. What do you do when shift happens? Let's go to Exodus chapter 14, verses 13 and 14. Moses told the people, remember, they're stuck between the Red Sea and the Egyptian armies. What do you do when shift happens? Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Let me ask you this. Can we be honest in the room right now? How many of you, just being brutally honest with yourself and with everyone sitting around you, again, I'm going to do my best to enunciate very well. I know this doesn't sound very pastorally proper, but how many of you would say, Pastor Drew, if I'm being real with you and real with the Lord, I'm in the middle. How do I pronounce this correctly? I'm in the middle of a shifty season right now. Raise it high. Cool. Well, maybe this recap is for you, because if it was true on October 20th, I believe it's true on February 16th. That is the date, right? Okay, good. It's still true on February 16th too, okay? And whatever today is. Moses told the people, don't be afraid. Just stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. It's only two verses. I think it's good enough to repeat. Is that okay? Moses told the people. And again, I think it's important that we remember they are in literally a life or death, but heavy emphasis on the death situation. Don't be afraid. Okay. But Moses is there with them. It's not like it's somebody from outside their circumstances saying, hey, I see you're going through a tough time. How about you just try not being afraid? You know, it's like you ever tell somebody the stuff you're going through, and they're not going through it, but you're talking to them about it, and the first thing they say is, hey, Matthew, just don't worry about it. And you're like, how about you not worry about my fist in your face? When I tell somebody my stuff, and they're like, why are you so worried about it? I want to be like, are you worried now? That's what I love pastoring in Tennessee for, right there. You can do that in Tennessee. If I was in California, I couldn't do that. Right? Everybody said amen to that. Right. Moses is there with them, right? He's in the middle. He's in the thick of it with them. And so he says, don't be afraid. Stand still and watch the Lord rescue you today. The Egyptian's army you see today, you will never see again. Which is what Moses is saying is, God's about to take care of business, y'all. I love that. God's about to, yeah. Verse 14, the Lord Himself will fight for you. Just stay calm. Father, we thank you for your word. God, if it was good enough to preach and read on October 20th, God, it is good enough to reflect on February 16th. And so, God, as we look at it today, I pray that you would speak and minister to us and help us to receive from all that you have for us today. In Jesus' name, we we pray. Amen. Amen. What do you do when shift happens? Anybody remember what the S stands for? Stand firm in the Lord. That's the first thing you do. Because if it belongs to this world, if it came from this planet, if it is rooted in people, if it comes from a building, if it comes from politicians or the government, if money can buy it, if people can build it, if it is somehow rooted in the things of this world, it will let you down at some point, in some way, in some capacity. And all God's people said amen, because you've been through it and you know that that's true in good preaching, right? But God is our firm foundation, and He will never leave us, nor will He ever forsake us. Stand firm in the Lord. When roofs start falling in, stand firm in the Lord. When trees fall on your stuff, you stand firm in the Lord, right? When your health starts failing you, my friend, you stand firm in the Lord. When an unexpected bill shows up in the mail, you stand firm in the Lord. When the doctor calls you and he doesn't tell you what's wrong, but he says, I need you to come into the office, we got to talk. Stand firm, because like, just tell me now. I know it's bad. Just text it to me, whatever. I cannot wait to get there. I will throw up right here if you do not hurry up and just tell me the bad news right now. Stand firm in the Lord. Because if it is rooted in the things of this world, if people can build it, if money can buy it, if it is your body, or if it's built on a relationship, it's not a matter of if, it is a matter of when. It will, in some way, in some form, in some capacity, it will let you down. But I got good news for you, my friends. Even when it appears as if God has let you down, even when it appears as if God has failed you because He did not do the thing that you wanted Him to do, or He let the thing that you didn't want to happen happen, God never fails. God never lets you down. God never falls short. God always comes through. God is our firm foundation because God knows more, He sees more, He's stronger, and He's more able than we are, right? So even when things don't work out the way that we think that they should, God in His infinite wisdom and in His infinite strength is always working things together for our good and for His glory. Come on, that's worth a good amen. When it fails, and it will fail, right? Stand firm in the Lord. Anybody remember what the H stands for? Go ahead, Dargy. Looking at your notes back here. Hold on to the promises of God. I love it. We need to be a note-taking church. That's what's up. That's what I'm talking about. Give Dargy a hand right there. That's what's up. Hold on to the promises of God, because God's promises are not just for your good days. They're for your bad days and for your hard days and your mediocre days too. You need to remember, Lifehouse, that you were chosen, that you are forgiven, that you are a child of the Most High, that you are the head, you are not the tail, you are a victor, you are not a victim. Too many of y'all are living like victims. You're talking like victims. You're acting like victims. You're posting on Facebook like victims. You're texting like victims. You're talking to your boss like a victim. You're sending emails like a victim. And then you're surprised when you are a victim. Because you're speaking a victim mentality into existence. And yeah, I do believe in that. You're not a victim. You're anointed. You're appointed. You're equipped. God has given you clarity, wisdom, power, and peace that passes understanding. And there is nothing that you will face today or any day that is to come that is impossible, because God is with you. God is for you. God has placed His favor on you. You can and you will overcome any and all sin and temptation in your life, because God has given you the strength to do so, and nothing that comes against you is going to conquer you, because you are a conqueror in Christ. Christ Jesus, you have everything you need to accomplish everything God has called you to do and has planned for you to do, because you are strong and mighty in the Lord. You were loved by God. You are His beloved. You are His chosen. You are valuable in His sight. Why are you just sitting down acting like I ain't preaching good this morning? See, some of you don't live in victory because you don't celebrate the truth of God's word. You're too addicted to the bad news to get happy about the good news this morning. You're too worried about everything that's going wrong to start celebrating everything that's going right. You got to learn how to fix your focus, because you'll find what you're looking for. The seekers are the finders. If you're looking for everything that's going wrong, you will find it, because there is a lot going wrong. No matter how good things are, there are things that are wrong. But no matter how bad things are, there are things that are going right too. Some of y'all need to change, get a new prescription, right? I went to the eye doctor a few weeks ago, and she told me, she was so rude to me. Security, set your phasers to turn it up to 11. I said, I can still see. I used to could see without my glasses okay, and I could just see a lot better with my glasses, but I'm getting to where I need my glasses a lot more. I said, I watched her mouth move, boy. And she said, well, I see your birthday right here. And your astigmatism. She says, you know how your kids are able to just play on the floor and just get up and walk around? And how you can't do that anymore? And I said, how do you know I can't do that anymore? I mean, it's true, but how do you know that? She says, well, your eyes are like that. Your eyes can't adjust quick enough, right? Y'all look great right now. I see you. Right? Some of you got, you need to get some new glasses. You need to get some new lenses. You need to get a new prescription. You need to go to the eye doctor, and you need to say, I need some faith glasses, because I've been looking through these lenses of doubt and despair and victim and all this for way too long. And I've been living in the dumps for way too long, because that's how I've been seeing my world, because that's how I grew up, and that's how I've been talking. And let me tell you, until you take, nobody's going to do this for you. You know that, right? Nobody's going to do this for you. You got a man up. You got a woman up. You got a faith up. You got a victor up. And you've got to decide that you are going to take the initiative and recognize that God did not call you to live that way. Hold on to the promises of God in your life. No one's going to do it for you. No one's going to hold your hand and do it for you. It's time to grow up in the Lord. Be a man. Be a woman of God and do it for yourself. Put on some faith glasses. Stop seeing things as they are and start seeing things as God in His goodness is making them to be. That's what it means to pray, God, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Not let your will be done in heaven as it is on earth. That's how we live in, though. I'm going somewhere. I'm going to preach today. I'm going to cast vision today, and you're going to get with it. Hold on to the promises of God. Anybody remember the I? Identify God's purpose. This one can be hard, because when shift happens, you want to ask why. But what you really need to be doing is asking what. Instead of saying, oh, why God? Why me? What God? are you seeking to accomplish in me and through me in this situation? Because here's the deal. We want to make our lives all about us. But the longer you live in the Lord, you become to recognize that your life in God is not about you. It's about what God can do through you. And that's why so many of us are so miserable. It's because we think our lives are about us. And as long as your attention is turned inward, you will be miserable. But when you start to turn your attention outward and recognize that God did not call you to live for you, He called you to live for others, you recognize that your life has purpose beyond yourself, right? And when you start living in that purpose, and you start understanding that my life has meaning beyond me. That's where joy is found. That's where peace is found. And then when things happen, because listen, my friend, no matter how good you live, no matter how much you pray, no matter how much you read your Bible, shift is going to happen. It's going to happen. Jesus says in John 16:33, in this world you will have trouble. That's a promise of God. Like, that's just as much a promise of God as any other promise of God. In this world, you will have trouble. But take heart, I have overcome the world. When you stop asking why and you start asking what, you're able to identify God's purpose in the shift. We quote this verse a lot, and it's worth quoting, Romans 8:28. We know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Say that word to your neighbor, good. Of those who love God and are called according to His purpose for them. We love that verse. Raise your hand if you love that verse. That's a great verse. It's a great. Raise your hand, Max. Stop texting. Raise your hand. That's a great verse. Thank you, brother. Let's read it one more time for Max on the front row. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good. Say it again to your neighbor. Good. Tell him. Good. There you go. Of those who love God are called according to His purpose. Here's what it doesn't say. And we know that God causes everything together to work together for the ease. But for most of us, that's what good is. For me, and most of my, and I'm just being real with you, like, for me, good equals, who said, there you go, Irby. See, you need to go sit over there. I love you, buddy. Good equals easy, but not in the kingdom. Because God's like a bodybuilder, right? Because, like, if I go to the gym and I grab a 5-pound dumbbell and I start doing this, and it's easy, right? I could do it all day long. And I know that shocks you that even I could do this all day long, right? Right? I could do this all day. Right, but if I go up and see, God's like, that's not me. God would say, that's not me. That's not how I work. He said, because I don't make things easy. I make things good. And most of us, we don't want good. We want easy. But God doesn't want easy. God wants good. Are you picking up what I'm putting down? And so God says, drop that 5-pound dumbbell and go pick up that 50-pound dumbbell. Now, well, let's maybe like a 35-pound dumbbell. Yeah. So then I pick up that 35-pound dumbbell. I can do it. Stop laughing at me. I've seen it. There you go. That's my boy. That's what's up, right? So we pick up that heavier weight, and then God says, "That's right. That's right." Because that right there, that resistance. Key word right there. That's what builds strength, but it does so by breaking down what was there so that the new can be built up even stronger than what used to be there. That's how faith is built. You see, Jesus did not give up His life on the cross so that we could live an easy life. He gave up His life on the cross so that we could live a good life. But for most of us, we have misidentified a good life as an easy life, whereas Jesus would say a good life is a strong and purpose-filled, others-focused, mission-minded life. Come on, somebody shout amen. When shift happens, stop asking why. You start asking what. You hold on to God's promises and you begin to identify God's purpose in the middle of the shift, because I promise you, when your life belongs to Jesus, nothing, look at your neighbor and say nothing. Nothing happens by accident. Nothing happens by chance. Nothing. Anybody remember the F? She beat you to it. Whoever it was. There you go. That's my gym partner right there. Although I don't, she outlifts me, so that's different. I'm ashamed of that. Anyway, fight for joy. That scare you? Fight for joy. Fight for joy, because when you're in the middle of the shift, it's really easy. Because here's the thing. When we're in the middle of a difficult season, what do we want to do? We want to get out of it. We just want to get out of it, right? It's like, how can I get from point A to point wherever I need to get out of this as quickly as possible? The problem with that is that we get tunnel vision and we lose our joy, because here's the way life works. I don't care how bad things are. It's never always bad. I don't care how good things are. It's never always good either, right? That's just life. That's just the principle of life. And anybody who says otherwise has tunnel vision and they're not thinking straight, right? So we have to fight for joy in the middle of the shift, because the joy of the Lord is our strength. The joy of the Lord is our strength. And what do we need to get through the shift? Strength. We need strength, right? We need to be strong in the Lord. So Paul tells us in Philippians 3:1 that whatever happens, what do? We rejoice, not in the circumstances, because that would be crazy, right? Like if somebody wrecked their car and they got out of it and they're like, oh, I'm so happy about this. I would not want them to come to the Lifehouse, because I would think they're going to kill me one day, because that's the kind of person that would do that. Psychopath, right? Who laughed like that? You don't rejoice in the bad circumstances. You rejoice regardless of the bad circumstances. In the Lord, right? Because joy is not just a feeling. Joy is a focus. Because so whatever I'm going through out here, right? My focus is not on the out here. My focus is on the Lord. Y'all pray for me. I've already preached out of my voice. I got a lot to go. Y'all pray for me. Anybody remember T in the shift? Take your next step of faith. Take your next step of faith. Exodus 14:15-16. The Lord said to Moses, this is just a few verses down. I love this. This is so cool to me. Moses is talking to God, and then God talks to Moses. He said, and God says, why are you crying out to me? Tell the people to get moving. It's almost like God's like, why are you still praying about this? Pick up your staff. And if you remember, this is the staff that Moses had when Moses had an encounter with God on Mount Sinai at the burning bush. Moses was told by God, throw it down. And he threw it down and it turned into a snake. And Moses ran away because he's not an idiot. Right? We ain't that kind of church. We're close, but not quite. I want to be right on the edge of that kind of church. I want to be almost that Pentecostal. But not quite. We got enough guns in here. We're not quite. Don't worry. If you're new to Lifehouse, I'm just kidding-ish. He runs away. God tells him to come back, and he says, pick it up, and he picks it up. Bold move, but he picks it up. And then he says, now go to Pharaoh. And so, you know, I'm obviously summarizing a lot of information here. And so he has this staff, right? And so this staff is far more than just symbolic of the power of God. Like, there's something about the staff, right? And God says, why are you still praying about this? You've ran into a problem, this body of water. I've told you where to go. And you've ran into this body of water that is obviously an obstacle. And instead of continuing through it, you have stopped. Which makes sense logically. But how many of you understand that faith and logic are almost always opposed to one another? And God says to Moses, why are you praying about your situation? I've already told you, know the directions to which you're supposed to go. Am I painting the picture clear enough here? And so he says, tell the people to get moving. So apparently he's not even holding his staff right now. The tool that God has given him to lead with. He says, pick up your staff. Where'd you leave that thing at? That was kind of important here. Right? And then go raise your hand over the sea. And then he says, divide the water. Do the thing that you don't even know that you can do, because when you walked up to the problem, instead of continuing forward, you just stopped because you saw the problem instead of moving forward in faith. Divide the water so that the Israelites can walk through the middle of the sea on the dry ground. Lifehouse. I want to be careful to not superimpose our situation and say, oh, we're the Israelites and we've walked up to this problem, and, you know, or you know, we could be David versus Goliath and all the things. But God gave us his word for a reason. He preserved it for thousands of years for a reason, so that we could learn from it, so that our faith could be built from it, so that we could read these stories. So not so that we could say, oh, you know, we're just, I'm not saying that, but I kind of am. Kind of. I would submit to you that there comes a point in time when we have to just make up our mind that we're going to stop crying out and we're going to get moving. In other words, at some point you got to stop talking and you got to start walking. And I believe this is where we are now. You remember in the very first verses I read, it said, stand still and you will see the Lord fight for you. Here's what I would submit to you, is that faith never stands still for long. They stood still for like literally a day. And then they started walking. It's been 5 months since shift happened. And here is my plea to my Lifehouse family. Let's not get stuck in between our deliverance and our destiny. Let's not get stuck in between our deliverance and our destiny. You fast forward 2 years here in Exodus, and that's what takes you to Numbers 13. And I'm not going to read anything particular, but this is when they send out the 12 scouts to spy out the land of Canaan. Kristen, can I get a bottle of water? Yelling at Max just really did my throat in. It's his fault. Texan, that was funny. Yelp review. Fast forward 2 years into Numbers 13, and Israel is at the banks of the Jordan River. And they're looking into the promised land, the land of Canaan, the land that was originally promised to Abraham and his descendants. In the 400-ish years of slavery in Egypt, you know, again, I am ultra summarizing a lot of things here. And now they're at this place that God has promised them. They have seen the 10 plagues that God sent on the land of Egypt that helped deliver them from slavery in Egypt. They have seen the pillar of cloud by day and the pillar of fire by night that kept them warm. The pillar of cloud kept them cool. They have woken up every single morning, minus the Sabbath day, to manna on the ground there waiting for them. They have had quail to eat in the wilderness. They have drank water from a rock, right? They have seen miracle upon miracle upon miracle. And yet these 10 spies come back, even though they're carrying grapes the size of people's heads. And they say, there's no way we can take this land because the people there are too big and we would surely fail in our attempts to fight them. God has forsaken us. Even though he's brought us this far, there's no way he can continue to take us onward. And then you've got Joshua and Caleb who say, forget those 10 idiots. They're so full of doubt. They have no faith. If God can get us here, God can get us there. Let's move forward in faith, right? But here's what happens. Unfortunately, what happens is the 10 spies convinced the entire nation to, instead of moving forward in faith, those 10 convinced them to stand still in fear. And for 40 years, the people of Israel wander in the wilderness until that entire generation dies in the wilderness. And then their children finally inherit the land that was supposed to be theirs. God, help me. That will not be us. Fear, to quote the song, is not my future. Fear does not get to dictate how I move forward. Lifehouse, we've come a long way in 5 months. But I am believing God Almighty that the next 5 years will be absolutely monumental. Monumental for what God does in and through this church. Not just in the next 5 years, but what he does over the next 25 years. And the next 50 years. And I'm going to tell you straight up, it will take faith. It will take vision. It will take work. It will take you making up your mind that you are not a church attender, but that you are part of the body of Christ, that you have been called not just to show up every so often on a Sunday, but to be part of the church. That means that you are not just here every so often, but that you attend, that you serve, that you give, that you are invested deep into your soul. Not that you're even just inviting people to church, but that you have accepted the personal responsibility to evangelize and to share your faith. Listen, I don't need you to invite people to church. I need you to be sharing the life-changing gospel of Christ with everyone you come into contact with. It's not about inviting people to church. It's about inviting people to Jesus. That's what it's going to take. It's going to take us showing up every Sunday and not depending on a few people on a stage to have some emotional pep rally to get us ready to worship, but showing up, and we brought the worship with us. And we're ready to go. We're not waiting on Don and Sarah and anybody else to pull it out of us. Instead, we show up and we get ready. And we're ready to worship before the first note is even played. Are you hearing me, Lifehouse? For too long, we have accepted A standard of church that is an absolute insult to the cross of Christ. Where we act as if we are doing the worship team and the pastor a favor by the fact that our butt is in a chair. I don't give a flying flip if your butt is in the chair. If all you did was show up, then you can show yourself out. I am looking for men and women of God who are ready and willing to go all in with the Lord, all in with whatever God is ready to do. That is what God is wanting to do in this place. I am not just believing for the next few months to be amazing. I am believing that the next 5 decades will be absolutely transformed by what seeds are sown in 2025. If you're looking for a church to meet your needs, there's a lot of great churches in this community that is looking to meet the needs of people. I don't care about your needs. And I say that from a place of absolute love for you. I am here to meet the needs of the Lord. I'm going to tell you straight up, the most neglected ministry in the church today is ministry unto the Lord. We have put him on the back burner because we are so obsessed with getting butts and seats and dollar bills and plates that we don't give nothing about the Lord anymore. That's where my heart is, Lifehouse. But when he is high and lifted up, he will draw all men unto himself. And I'm going to tell you right now, if that doesn't resonate with your heart, it's because you have not been transformed by the blood of the Lamb. If that doesn't resonate with your heart, it's because you ain't been born again. Plain and simple. You guys okay? Fear, apathy, negativity, laziness, discord, and doubt will have no place in this church. You're not dealing with some little prissy pastor who will put up with that crap. I got no time, no room, and no patience for that. I'm not your friend. I'm not your buddy. I've been called for a purpose. I got too much at stake. Okay. I mean, I'll be your friend, but not in the way that, okay, I don't know. It's hot in here now. You guys understanding what I'm saying? If half of you don't show up next week, I love you, but I'm sincere what I'm saying. I want you here, but I want you here for the right reasons. I want you to understand that this is a move of God that I believe in the name of Jesus will impact our community for generations to come. I'm believing God that churches will be planted in the next 50 years. I'm believing God that pastors and missionaries and prophets will be raised up in the next 50 years. Not even just the next 50 years, in the next 5 years. That worship leaders and youth pastors and kids pastors will be raised up that will go forth throughout not just our area, but throughout the nation and throughout the nations. But you have to understand, it will take us having a perspective of understanding that it is not just about me and my three. It's not just about me coming to church and having a good time. It's not just about me enjoying the worship. Worship ain't about you. If you're waiting for worship to move you, then you have made yourself your own God. If you're looking for self-help, then watch a YouTube video. If you're looking for the Word of God to be preached without apology, then show up next Sunday. Let's talk vision. Let's talk about our facilities. We need some vision for these facilities. Can I get an amen? Amen. Praise God. Last year, we took up a shift offering. Are y'all okay? I wasn't in my notes, just saying. Kristen didn't read and approve that in advance. Did you? Was it okay, though? It was great. Thanks. I don't have my phone on me. So if you text me, tell me to be quiet. I didn't get it. So last year we took up a shift offering in mid-November. I'm looking at my wife for confirmation sometime in November. It was a right around, and this is amazing for Lifehouse, just historically speaking. $75,000 came in for that offering. Give yourselves a hand. I've talked about this and it's for a good bit over the last few weeks, so I won't belabor too long right here. But it's a miracle that we got HVAC installed, and it was, and I'm going to tell you, I think there's a slide, the exact dollar amount was $76,216. So almost exactly what we needed came in. So, and that's paid for. We paid cash for that. So that the last check has been written. No money borrowed. Praise God, praise God, praise God. And thank you for your faithfulness and generosity and sacrificial giving. The next thing that we have, Paul, if you can help me out, Thursday, we sent a deposit in the mail to buy a new item that we hope to have on March 14th. Sit right here for me, brother. Thank you, Paul. We got chairs coming. We got chairs coming. Now, listen, y'all, I didn't know this until I started looking at them. Chairs are expensive. Just a place to rest your hind end is not cheap. So here's the thing. Right now, I'm looking at my wife to tell me, we have about just a little over 200 of these black chairs in the room. 228 black chairs in the room. We ordered 300 of these chairs right here. Now, I literally said I want to buy the best chairs that money can buy. Because here's the vision, that number one, this room needs to be a multi-purpose room, right? It has to be. The current chairs do not hook together correctly, so we have to zip tie them, or they'll slide all over the place, right? So these chairs will hook together so we can stack them, and because they're going to be stacked and put down, they need to be durable. I'm going to show you. There's literally no screws in the chairs. There's no cardboard in the chairs. I know, you didn't expect to see all this today, right? I'm so proud of these chairs, y'all. There will be a little pocket back there for the chair. And I'm just going to tell you, I'm not taking up an offering. But I'm just going to tell you right now, I'm just going to ask you. I'm going to tell you, if you want to buy a chair for you, your family, your friend, $115 each. That's how much they cost per chair for 300 chairs. And I'm just going to believe God that we're going to have these paid for in the next few weeks. We're believing by March 14th we will have these here. And the reason why we bought the nicest ones we could buy is because I believe that there's a difference between worshipful excellence and wasteful extravagance. And these are tools for ministry that will be used, right? And when we build our new building, which I'll tell you about in a few minutes, these chairs will go with us. We will be able to add to these chairs. And these chairs will still look, supposedly, and we'll see, right? They will still look just as good in the next few years as they look right now. So, and because we need more chairs. We need more chairs. We don't have enough. And if you were here last week, you know that's true. If you're here this week and you're like, I don't think we do. Well, shut up. You should have been here last week. It's not my fault you didn't come last week. So this is our big three facility upgrades for 2025. Chairs are half paid for, and we're buying them regardless. And then the next big thing is a roof. If you were here earlier today, you saw about 18,000 leaks. No, it wasn't that many. It was about 4 leaks in here, and we've had some repairs done, but we need a new roof. This building was completed in 1992, and the roof is as old as the building. And so it's time. Look at your neighbor and say, it's time. And so we've already got quotes in. Each one ranges from $60,000 to $80,000. Chad Moran, who understands that world a lot better than I do, is looking at the quotes in detail to understand the differences and why some are less than the others. But obviously, these are large expenses. We've already paid for one. Praise God, praise God, praise God. The chairs are going to be paid for, and I'm believing that if the Lord leads you, you're going to buy your chair, and you can't put your name on it, Max. I'm sorry. I know you already asked, but you can't. We're not that kind of church. We don't memorialize things to people. We only memorialize things to the Lord. And then a roof. And those, in the name of the Lord, I'm believing we will have those three big projects completed before the end of the year. I'm believing we'll have them completed before the end of the summer. The chairs will be completed before the end of March 14th, but the roof is the big outlier there. Are you guys still with me? I'm about to give you a lot of information, so roll with me. I'll try to go as fast as I can. You're excited? Good. I'm excited too. I'm glad you're excited. I would be really sad if you weren't excited. All right, here's some other goals for 2025, and here's something I want to say. I want you to understand that no plans are set in stone other than chairs, because the deposit's already paid, and the air conditioners, they're here, so we can't return those. You know, if other unforeseen problems or maybe the favor of God in some area or some other opportunity, someone has even asked about if land came available somewhere else. Listen, nothing is off the table. If the Lord opens up a door, we will entertain it. But we're just going to work with what we have. Does that make sense? Right? But if God opens up another door, we will explore it with faith and wisdom and obedience, right? Because I believe if you fail to plan, you plan to fail. Amen? All right, so let's talk about the other upgrades that we hope to see come into fruition in 2025. Show the next slide for me. So the first one is we're going to remodel the bathrooms in the house. That is our youth and kids facility right up there. And if you've been up there, the other day I said they kind of look like a third world country. I kind of got rebuked. I would say maybe it's like a 2.5 world country bathrooms. They're kind of that bad. And that's going to cost about $10,000. That's going to get started after Easter. We're going to remodel. It's actually Lindsay's office. It's this room adjacent to the kitchen right back here. And the reason why we're going to do that is, one, Lindsay just really wants a spiffy new office. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. The main reason we're doing that is it's a large space, and we're going to utilize that room for her office, but also for Life Track, for life groups that meet there, and for prayer. If someone, for instance, we have an altar call and there is a time for extended prayer for a person or people needed that doesn't need to take place right up here in front of everybody, they can go to that room and have a nice space to do that. So we're going to be taking care of that really soon. We're getting a keyboard for the house, and by getting a keyboard for the house, praise God, it's already been donated and we have a keyboard for the house. Stage lighting for up here. I think a lot of that's already been purchased. We're just waiting on getting that installed. Exterior lighting for the playground area so that on Wednesday nights the kids can play outside and it not be a hazardous area. Security cameras for around the exterior of the building. If you've been outside, you understand that we've got these old storage buildings out here that the floor and the roofs are literally falling in. So we're going to get rid of those, probably have a bonfire, a.k.a. need a fire permit. Get rid of those and buy a much larger, much more secure storage building for tools, the lawnmower, and different things, and hopefully get power ran to it. And it's also, if you look around here, we have all this pipe and drape that helps create separation. We don't own any of this. This was all graciously loaned to us when we started. Yes, praise God for that. But we don't own it. It's not ours, and we can't keep it forever, even though the person who loaned it to us said we could. I know that's not true. That's just not how loans work. So the goal is to either build or buy or design partial walls. We can't build all the way to the ceiling because of fire codes, but to work with our, praise God. Hey, I love babies crying in church. It means that we got life, baby. Come on, somebody say amen. But to build partial walls, don't you run out of here, we're good, babe. To build partial walls so that we can have some division, and I mean good division, not the bad division, but so that we can have division and so that we can replace this pipe and drape. Does that make sense? Am I explaining that correctly? Right. Yeah. All right. Let's talk about 2026 and beyond. I know I'm moving fast, but I'm trying. I know some of y'all are ready to go. All right. Facility upgrades for 2026 and beyond. All right. If you can't really see it because of the way the pipe and drape is set up right now, but in time we want to fur out and put drywall on the bottom half of the sanctuary walls right here. So that way it just looks much nicer on the bottom half of this gym wall, and it's not just block wall. And then we will paint the top half of the sanctuary walls, probably black or something to just make it kind of look incognito, if that makes sense. Close in or do something to make the sanctuary windows look less prison-esque. Anything to make the place look less like San Quentin is... new carpet and paint for all office spaces. That's something that if you saw it, you'd understand. Out by the road, a new LED sign. So that we can advertise the church, so that we can advertise the academy, so that we can advertise all the events instead of, you know, putting out a flyer banner every, you know, few months or whatever, and then the city sending us letters and telling us to take it down and all the things, all that. You know, a lot, and those aren't cheap. You know, those are big investments. But hey, can he do it? Right? We can talk about it, or we can move forward in faith. Amen. Believe in God that He's going to help us add dimmer capability to these sanctuary lights. This is a big one, an LED screen or wall of some sort to go back here to help us with being able to see this better. Praise God, this TV didn't even blink once today that I saw. I don't know what happened. Kristen says she prayed. I'm just going to roll with that. Yeah. But nonetheless, believe in God that He's going to. And here's the thing, and again, I'll talk about this more in a moment. Everything that we do, I'm believing that it will either be inexpensive enough that if we need to tear it down in the future, it won't be a big deal, or that it will stay in this building, or when we build a new building, it will move with us. Does that make sense? So we're cutting down on waste as much as possible. So for instance, if we were to buy an LED wall or an LED screen that took up a large chunk, that is modular and it moves with us. Does that make sense? Remove all basketball goals, and I'll get to more about what this building will be in the future in a minute, but even if we were to completely repurpose this into another gymnasium, which that is not in the plans, these basketball goals were great 30 years ago, but it's 2025, and they janky, y'all, okay? Better insulate ceiling, and that might be something that happens when we put a new roof on, and maybe, you know, fix the tape that's fallen down. Somebody says that's character, and I said, you know, sometimes there's such thing as bad character. Paint the exterior of the building. That's not a huge emergency item, but it would be nice. This might be hard to explain. And by the way, if you have questions about any of this, I will do my best to answer them. If you have suggestions, have grace for me, okay? I'll try my best to listen, but understand I've been thinking about this a lot longer than you have, okay? All right, but I'll try to make this make sense. How many of you would like to be able, ladies, raise your hand, ladies. How many of you would like for your husband to be able to drop you off under an awning and for you to be able to walk all the way into the church without ever getting rained on? Okay. He can just leave earlier in the morning. Rain don't bother you? Well, Kristen can drop me off then. That'd be great. So reformat parking lot, awning area to create a drive-through drop-off area in front of the building awning entrance. That's the best way I could explain it right there. But that's what that hopes to be. Does that make sense? And again, that's, you know, these are things that may or may not happen, but if you don't plan for it, it certainly won't happen. You follow me? Renovate our kitchen into a fully commercial kitchen and pantry. Yep. And then the floor of the sanctuary, there is a possibility, it's not on the list, that we might actually buy a carpet similar to this carpet right here and just put it on the floor so we don't have to look at this floor. It wouldn't even be glued down. It would literally just be sitting there. I don't know about that, but that's a possibility. But long term, what I want to put in here is called athletic padded vinyl flooring. And it's beautiful. You can bounce a basketball on it. You can fall on it, Max. You can, it looks great. All kinds of stuff. I just love you so much, man. You sat right there. So that's gives you some ideas. So now let's talk about the next 3 to 5 years. Here's a few things. So we got several people have asked me about the old building. What are we doing with the old building? So here we go. I'm going to tell you. If we wanted to repair our old building, at minimum, and this ain't what it would actually cost. This is like, you know what I'm saying? You smell what I'm stepping in? At minimum, to repair the old building, it is $416,702.41. Right, hit the next one. Oh, sorry. Okay, you're good. Just leave it there. I can't even say. It's too big of a number. I can't pronounce it. $500,000. When it was, and that doesn't include the sewage pipe that is crushed underneath the building that needs to be dug up and replaced. That doesn't include the fact that it's already too small for us. We were at two services. We were already entertaining a third service. That doesn't include a lot of things that were already wrong with that building. To demolish the building, by the way, total shocker, did not know it cost this much to tear down stuff. I'm really good tearing up stuff. Didn't think it cost that much to tear something up. In fact, it's actually not tearing stuff up that costs that much. It's hauling it away once you've tore it up that costs a lot. But to demolish our old building, $148,000. I saw y'all just, some of y'all like, whoa. Yeah. Yeah. I got trucks. Put in the back of AJ's car. Open up your trunk, boy. So here's the plan. And again, I hope you will have grace for me and understand. Now, all of the you're hearing, our board, our church board is in the know on, and we've already talked thoroughly. Staff already talked thoroughly, and our leadership team already talked thoroughly. So this is not any new information for them. So this is not like everybody's hearing this all at once, and this is all my thing. This is all very collaborative, and I hope you guys understand that. But here's the plan. Is that by the end of this year, going into next year, that we would launch a full-blown planning process that includes the destruction of our old building, the expansion of our current parking lot, and the construction of a new worship center. Yep, praise God. Our new building would include a multi-use sanctuary, because here's the bottom line. We do not have enough land to have a single-use sanctuary. It will have to be a multi-use sanctuary. That's just where we're at, right? So that's why we need chairs that we can set up and tear down. We can't have whatever. Our new building would include a multi-use sanctuary, office spaces, classrooms, kids and youth spaces. And I've really been praying about this, and this may even be something that I pursue in a different manner at some point in time, in a different way down the road. An on-site coffee shop, because I have something in my heart from an entrepreneurial perspective, as well as just a way that could make money that would fund missions and missionaries, and provide job opportunities for young people in our church, and having some sort of a business either on our property or even in town. Does that make sense? So that's kind of where I'm at on that. This space, everybody say this space, would be converted into what I will just call it, for lack of a better way to say it, a full-blown family life center, giving ample space for Lifehouse Academy, woo-woo, to flourish. So we're talking like computer labs, classrooms, but also giving ample space for fellowship, recreation, feeding programs, community outreach, and much, much more. Someone said, do you ever see it being a full-blown gymnasium again? And I do not. I don't ever see that. Maybe a half court or a three-point line, but to have it be a full-blown gym, in my opinion, and in many of the opinions of people that I've talked to, is really a waste of space, because the need for a full basketball court is just not that great. Does that make sense? It's nice, you know, for the four times a year that, yeah. So anyway, so that's the facilities so far. I'm not done yet, though. We still got some ministry stuff I want to share with you, and even a little bit of personnel. Can you guys hang with me for another, realistically, 15 minutes? Are you guys okay? All right, Shekiah said, let's go. I'm going. Let's talk about missions. We currently support 35 missionaries around the world with over $2,000 a month that go out of Lifehouse, that do not stay in Lifehouse, that go to these 35 different missionaries. Yeah, that's worth celebrating. Once we get some partitions built, we're going to design a missions wall so that we can actually put this in front of you on a regular basis, because right now, you don't know who these people are. You don't know where they are. You didn't even know this existed until I told you it existed, right? But you need to know about this. You need to see this, and I want you to see this because it's awesome, amen? So I want you to know about this. We're also planning a missions trip to the Dominican Republic with Adam and Melissa Tweed. September 12th through 19th this year. The cost right now, we're expecting it to be right at $1,850, maybe a little more, maybe a little less. It will be kids ministry focused. Sorry, I didn't spell check that. Focused, not focuses. Is that even a word? Would that be focus-i? I don't know. Kids under 15 would have to go with the parent. So that's the mission trip. Somebody said, you know, why not during a fall break or whatever? It's because... Really, we go when the missionaries say we can go. That's why. And who cares? Just pull your kids out of school. School sucks. Just whatever. What? Oh, yeah. Yeah, that's right. Yeah. Your pastor probably shouldn't say that from the platform. It's going to be held against me. Kids are going to be like, trust the pastor Drew said. That's only if you're going on missions trips. If you're not going to a mission trip, school's awesome. You should go to school. Oh, man. I'm telling you, this is a really hard job because everything you say can and will be used against you. Watch out, front row. All right, so let's talk about outreach for just a second. We have our Easter egg hunts. We have back-to-school stuff. We have fall festivals. We do Thanksgiving stuff. We do Christmas stuff. AJ and Julie Underwood do a phenomenal job leading all of those different events every single year. Let me mention benevolence very quickly. We have been able as a church, because of your generosity, but also, if I can be honest with you, because of an increase in need, we have been able and we have needed to be able to do more in the last 6 months than we have been in at least the last 3 years. I almost said in the last 6 years, and that might actually be accurate. And you don't know about that because we don't advertise that, because a lot of those people are in our church and we don't want to tell you about it. But because you give, we can give. Does that make sense? And we don't feel compelled to... And listen, I know some people would say, oh, you've got to let the people know that you helped so-and-so with this. Well, here's the deal. You be obedient and you listen to the Holy Spirit and we'll do the same thing. And if I have to advertise every time we do something for some family, then I'm not doing that. I'm just not doing it. I don't care what you say. As we continue to settle into this facility and it becomes our church and not the gym, and we begin to sort out our kitchen and pantry, it is our heart that we begin a 1 to 2 time monthly food pantry here. Wendy is already looking at other solutions that would go beyond using the actual pantry to be a food pantry. Also, this will not be this year, more than likely, unless the Lord opens up a door. I'm praying that God would give us or open up the door to help us purchase an enclosed trailer, a portable sound system. I just have this idea of us going to different communities, different housing projects, apartment complexes, and having sidewalk Sunday school for kids on Saturdays, and telling them and showing them the love of Christ. But we need financing, we need volunteers, we need people, and come on, you guys ready? I'm telling you. Laziness is out the window, guys. It's time, not these ones, they got bars on them. Some of the, out the doors, right? We're good. Let's talk about discipleship. I told you earlier, Sunday sermons, I'm not preaching to be your friend, I'm preaching to be your pastor. No topic is off limits. We can talk about money. We can talk about sexuality. We can talk about gluttony. Amen. What does the Bible say about this? What does the Bible say about that? We're going to study God's word. We're going to see how it applies to our daily lives. We're not just going to skim it. We're not here to preach feel-good sermons. We're going to push you towards life groups. We're going to push you towards serving, because we believe that real life change doesn't just happen from a Sunday sermon, but it happens in community. Right now, we have 10 active life groups, but we talked with Lindsay, and we're praying that by August of this year that we would have at least 18 active life groups, so that every current adult in Lifehouse could be part of a life group. Beginning today, look at your neighbor and say, it done happened. Not good grammar, but good talking. It done happened. Beginning today at 8 a.m. every Sunday. You follow me? Beginning today at 8 a.m. every Sunday, we have pre-service prayer. So that means that from 8 to 8:30, we're in here praying. At 8:30, they start sound check. You can go get breakfast. You can go get coffee. You can do whatever. But it's not required, obviously. But, hey, we were here praying, and we're inviting you and everyone who wants to be part of it to come in here ready to pray from 8 to 8:30 a.m. every Sunday. Because if we're going to go after God and we're going to pursue what God wants for us the way we're doing it, it has to be built on a foundation of prayer. All right. All right, I'm trying to wrap up here. How many of you know that we are blessed at Lifehouse with a team, an amazing team of leaders? Kristen, would you stand and just stay standing? Yeah. This is my wife, if you didn't know. She is officially called the office administrator, but she's really like a co-pastor. You can call her that if you want to, but we really lead this together. We really do. I'm not saying that tongue in cheek. We really do. And Wendy's shaking her head yes. And if you work with us close enough, you know that. We really do. We work very closely together. And I'm very blessed, because for most of our adult lives, we have worked together in ministry. And we love it. It works for us. I know couples joke about how I could never work with my spouse. I don't know that I couldn't work with my spouse. Yeah. Where's Pastor Paul at? Oh, right there. How do I not see him? Started full-time last May, does an incredible job leading the house, and I'm so proud of him and just so thankful for him, the energy that he brings. Wendy, would you stand? She leads our Lifehouse Academy. I'm going to tell you, and she started, what month did you officially start in? In July, and just straight up had her hands full from day one, and really just trying to get her feet under her. But man, she has been working so hard and so diligently and doing such a phenomenal job. And you know, growth is one thing, health is another thing, And health is what we're really pursuing at this season of Lifehouse Academy. And we're getting healthy and we're seeing the seeds of growth beginning. But not only is she great in leading Lifehouse Academy, but all across the board, just a wonderful, just wonderful to have you here. Yeah. Lindsay, would you stand? Lindsay leads all things connection, so life groups, social media posts, anything that you see misspelled on Facebook. I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. No, Lindsay does so many things, and so proud of her and seen so much growth in her too, but so thankful for her. I've known Lindsay really since college, so, you know, only a couple of years. And right beside her, Don. Go ahead and stand, Don. Don's one of my best friends, and I love my brother, and I'm so thankful. Listen, one of the greatest compliments that I always get from guest speakers, and you guys may not appreciate this, but I'm just going to tell it again. I'm just going to tell it like it is. So thankful for a man who can lead worship in a key, in an octave that men can sing in. Yeah. But more than that, the anointing, the sincere passion for the Lord, the humility of heart, the ego that does not bring up, like, no ego, no pride, just a sincere love for God and love for people. Doesn't care if he's the one leading the songs or if someone else is the one leading the songs. And let me tell you something, my friends, you don't get that everywhere you go. Well, you get it here. You get it here. And Lori Stiefel, she's not actually able to be here today because she's not feeling well. But even if she was here, she wouldn't be here because she would be working her rear end off at kids' house, ministering to our babies. So Lori, if you're watching, we love you. We appreciate you. And so right now, with these standing, Kristen's full-time, I'm full-time, Paul's full-time, Wendy's full-time. Lindsay is part-time, Don is part-time, and Lori is part-time. I'm just going to tell you straight up, I am believing God that because of the growth that occurs in this church and because of the need of the ministry that is continuing to grow, that over the next 2 years that we're going to see Lori and Don and Lindsay all start to work full-time here at the church, and that we're going to be able to pay them a very healthy salary, that we're going to be able to pay them in a way that they're going to leave their other employment, or at least for Don. Lindsay, you can't leave your other jobs. That'd be bad for your family, I guess. I think that's worth celebrating too. And if you're unfamiliar with how church works and you don't think that that's necessary, just come hang out with us for a week. Okay? Like, I'm sincerely telling you, if you don't think that's necessary, just come on, hang out with us, and I will show you what is up. And you will start tithing if you don't tithe. You will start giving if you don't give. And if you do tithe, you will start doubling it. Because you will learn quick, fast, and in a hurry. Ministry is what you make of it. And at Lifehouse, we work hard. We don't play games. We quit school around here because of recess, y'all. No, we're so blessed with an incredible team. And I really am believing God that over the next few years that we're going to see these come on full time because of the increased demands of ministry. And who knows, God may even grow our staff even further, and if that's be, so be it. Praise God. I want to invite Don and his team to come on the platform, and we're going to close real quick. I won't be long. I know I probably went longer than 15 minutes. Maybe not. I don't know. I'm good. Thank you. Can you guys give me some affirmation and tell me I'm okay? We're good. So what do we do now? Well, our mission, Lifehouse, is to glorify God and make disciples. So that's what we do. We do what we can, and then we continue to trust God to do what we can't, right? Let's get busy doing what we can, and we'll trust God to do what we can. And I want to encourage you that you would go all in with the Lord. And hear my heart. More than I want you to go all in with Lifehouse, I want you to go all in with the Lord. Man, he's so good. And in your life, the joy that you're looking for, the peace that you're looking for, the purpose that you're looking for, it is found nowhere else but in him. It's not found in a job. It's not found in a hobby. It's not found in money. Man, listen, as much as I love my family, can I tell you, it's not even found in a family. Like, family's great. Like, family's amazing. But family with Jesus is exponentially better than family without Jesus. And I do want you to go all in with Lifehouse. And here's what I'll say. And I know you've heard me say a lot of bold things, and I stand by every one of them. Last bold thing I'll say. If you can't go all in with Lifehouse, you owe it to yourself to find a church that you can go all in with. You really do. Because you're missing out. Because it's so much fun. It's so much fun. Because I want you to understand that I'm not the only one in ministry here. We are in ministry here. We're in this together. And I want you to go all in with what God has called us to do together. And I love you so much. And I love you enough to tell you the hard truth. And I don't want anyone to walk away. I really don't. I have never, ever wanted anyone to leave my church. Well, No, I haven't. I really haven't. I'm just kidding. I have never. You okay? You thought of somebody, didn't you?
I'll never tell.
I have never wanted someone to leave our church. But I tell you the truth when I tell you that if you cannot go all in here, like for whatever reason, you don't like me, you don't like my style, or you don't like our vision, or you don't like our music, or whatever it may be. You just don't click here. I don't know. You owe it to yourself to find a church that you can go all in with. You do. And just tell me. Just be. Don't be one of these people who just disappears. Like, just be like, hey, Drew, just letting you know, we're going to be looking for another church, and we're going to this church. Like, I promise you, I won't be mad at you. I will bless you. I will love you. I will pray for you. I will be your friend. You won't make me mad. I'll be a little sad. I'll pray for you. But I really hope and I really pray that you can go all in here, because I am believing God that we are standing on the edge of something great, of an amazing future for this year, for next year, for the next 3 to 5 years, for the next 25, for the next 50 years, that far outlives any of us in the room, except those kids in the back. Can I get an amen? Amen. So let's not get stuck in between our deliverance and our destiny. Let's be here. Let's give. Let's serve. Let's pray. Let's believe God together that starting today, that over the next few years, over the next 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 10, 20, 25, 30, 50 years, that we're going to see God move in amazing ways on this property in East Tennessee, over this country, and over the world, in Jesus' name. Can we stand together as we receive communion as a church today? If you're with us as a guest, I want you to know that you do not have to be a member of Lifehouse. Maybe this was a new message for you and you're not a part of the Lifehouse family. Well, maybe today you decided to be part of the Lifehouse family. I hope you did. But regardless, if you're part of the family of Christ, hey, can I just tell you, that being part of the Big C Church is a much bigger deal than being part of Lifehouse Church even?
Amen.
Can I just tell you that? So if you're a part of the church, the body of Christ, we invite you to partake of communion with us today as we give our attention to what Christ has done for us, as we commit ourselves by faith to this vision that He's called us to. More than anything else, we remember what He's already done for us. Amen. Paul receives this from the Lord, and he says in 1 Corinthians 11:23, he says, "For I pass on to you what I received from the Lord Himself. On the night when He was betrayed, the Lord Jesus took some bread, and He gave thanks to God for it. Then He broke it in pieces, and He said, 'This is My body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of Me.'" Let us partake. He took the cup of wine after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant between God and His people, an agreement confirmed with My blood. Do this in remembrance of Me as often as you drink it. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until He comes." Father, thank You so much for the body that was broken and for the blood that was spilled. Thank You, God, that today that we get to be called the sons and the daughters of the Most High because of the sacrifice that was made 2,000 plus years ago, that we are the children of God, not because of what we have done or accomplished, but because of what You have accomplished. And as we remember, as we have partaken, God, I pray that You would solidify in our hearts as we remember the sacrifice, as we look forward to the day when we will meet You face to face and know You as we are known by You. And God, that our commitment towards You would be stronger than it's ever been, that it would supersede any commitment that we have to anything in this world. God, that our love for You, our desire for You, our passion for You would continue to grow. And Lord, that our revelation of Your love for us would grow beyond anything we could ever imagine. In the name of Jesus, we pray.
Blessed assurance.